Morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Good.
Anybody have a cold? All right. Good. Good. I thought yesterday that the guys did a good job in terms of adjusting to the players that we were missing, and we scaled down practice some. I didn't have the afternoon meetings yesterday. We were able to get the film work done here this morning, but I thought as a group, adjusted well to the changes that we had. And we should get Cameron back today and Sean Rogers back today. There really haven't been any new cases, so that's positive as well. In terms of the timetable for the rest of the group coming back, not totally sure yet, but we're going to just be as cautious as we can with this to make sure that we don't go into the weekend and put the group that hasn't had it in a position where they could get it. So that's kind of where we are with the state of affairs in terms of the flu-related symptoms. And in terms of Green Bay, which we're working on, I think that for us, again, it goes back to what we need to get done on third down and defensively. We have made some strides, and offensively, we need to continue to. Did some different things last week running the football that I thought were real positive and will be a good complement to the other things that we're trying to get done on third down. But we're pushing forward on that today, and we'll do a little bit of two-minute work as well. So with that, open up to questions.
Any of the 10 guys that are still out, are any of them any sicker? I mean, nobody's in the hospital or
no,
anything?
No. Yeah, yep. And with our medical staff, they're all in contact with them, and it's everything's being closely monitored, so I feel like we have a good handle on it.
How about the coaching staff?
Doing okay? That's a loaded question.
Outside of just mixing and matching some combinations of people and things like that, not too bad.
We happened to see there was a delivery here yesterday of Tamiflu.
Great.
Did everybody take those, or what was the?
You know, again, in terms of who took what, I'm not totally sure. I started some of that myself, give it a shot. So I feel great.
On Saturday night, where are you going to put these guys at? I mean, you going to be in the team hotel or?
I think we'll be past the bulk of it, and some of it, Cameron probably could have come back yesterday, but again, it was one of those things where I want to make sure it's done and not get past it with him and then create it with somebody else, and it really has been a group effort trying to working with the doctors, working with the trainers. Make sure that we're doing everything we can to eliminate it. Even in the building, anybody that we could have go home, or any pregnant women, we wanted to get home just to be safe. And it's not. It's really about trying to be safe and limit it as much as possible.
As far as that NFL exemption, we know it only pertains to cases of swine flu. Is it safe to say that you won't be needing any or meeting the requirements for any roster exemptions?
No, we have two that are influenza A, which is the presumption is that that's swine flu, and we're going through the process of getting the or talking to the league and documenting different things just to see where we are with that. And it's open communication, so I'm not sure where it'll be, Tony.
And I guess that you have to have a minimum of 6 cases to receive any relief. Is that your understanding, too?
Yeah, that's my understanding. And, as I said, we're in contact with them. We're trying to keep that communication going consistently so we're aware of what we're able to do and what we're not able to do.
When you say two are the influenza A, do you know that the rest of them aren't, or you just don't know that they
are? I just know that two are, so not sure of the status of the rest of them.
Josh, yes. with a knee yesterday. Is he going to be okay, or is this a...
Yeah, he, I anticipate him being out today, being out at practice today.
With these, one more thing about the flu, is these guys that have had it, like Cameron, are they weak, or, I mean, do you think it's going to take them a few days to, you know, be back to 100%?
No, he looked pretty good. He looked happy. He looked ready to go, so it's good to happen.
Do you think it's possible in the next day or two you could find out you get more guys with the influenza A, or are you pretty confident that it's just the two?
Like I said, the other group, there's testing that has to take place, so process testing and see where we are. I don't know either way.
Eric, have you been through anything even remotely close to anything like this before?
No. This is new ground for me. So. No, I checked the manual. Nothing. So, but it's like anything else. It's you got to adjust. I think it's, you know, you're always looking for ways to teach off something. But good reminder to the practice squad guys. You don't know. You don't know when you'll get your chance. And we do a lot of work with those guys, whether it's post practice or additional meetings, to always try to keep them up to date and ready to assume a role if a role should open up. And I think situations like this are a really good reminder to them how close they are. If you're on a team and you're on the practice squad, you got a chance at any point to make your case to play, and things change dramatically week to week, sometimes day to day, and you get a chance that maybe you didn't anticipate. But the worst thing for anybody is to not be ready for that chance when it does show up.
Aaron, can you talk about, Aaron, I know you talked about Rodgers yesterday, but he looks like he'll hold the ball forever, kind of like Roethlisberger. I mean, he got sacked 5 times last week, but still threw for a lot.
He has the ability to move in the pocket. So whether it's the protection breaks down and he gets out, they'll use him on some moving routes, boots, where he fakes one way and rolls the other way, sometimes dashes where he just sprints out one way. So he can move pretty well. He can throw on the run, and he can create some time. You saw in the first preseason game, we had a 3-man rush on. We actually had a little pressure, but he was able to sidestep the pressure, and then the play went too long, and he was able to hit it down the middle early in the first quarter there. And that's some of the things that he can do. Now, you take some chances when you hold the ball a little bit longer, but he's made a ton of good plays there as well.
So did you learn, of course you watch him on film, but did you learn anything specifically in that game and how to defend him?
That was really early in the process for us, and you look back at that, but the amount of really meaningful stuff that you can take from the game isn't too significant, but you do look at it because it is a lot of the same players, a lot of the core parts of the scheme, but things have changed for them, things have changed for us, and you just try to get what you can from it.
Yesterday, Eric talked about how he thinks he's getting better at bouncing back from a bad play. Is that mostly him and Tater doing that kind of stuff, or I just wondered who's gotten involved in maybe that part?
Yeah, I think he's done. I think he's gotten better moving on to the next play, and that's a skill set that you try to teach everybody, players and coaches, because you're worried about that, you lose the next one. DA's worked. I've been impressed with his work ethic. He's here late each night. He's really involved in all the different things that are going on, and I've been extremely happy with that.
15 plays you'd like to have back. You keeping track of those too, or?
Well, when you try to put something that you want a person to improve on, if you can put things together and then show them, okay, here are some of the plays, and this is what happened, and you sit with the player and say, is this correctable? Is it not correctable? And the realization that all these things are correctable, then it's not as much of an inherent problem as it is something that can be worked on and improved. And it's a big distinction. It's an understanding, okay, if I do these things, the result will be better.
Eric, after a guy drops a ball or two in a game, do you get in their ear or do you leave them alone?
Sometimes it depends on who the guy is. Sometimes you can get in a guy's ear and that's it. They shut it down and it's over. Sometimes you have to get in the air and explain the importance of moving on to the next play. Everybody responds differently, but I've had DBs like that where you're just hoping to God that they don't get beat early because it's over. Yeah, at that point you might as well, you know, put them in one of the boxes to watch the rest of the game because it's done. And there's other guys that beat five times and they're going to come out and compete exactly the same way. And sometimes guys just need reassurance that they're going to get another opportunity, and you go back to them right away to say, okay, look, that was an aberration. Here's another ball. I showed a couple clips today of some catches Muhammad had yesterday. They were, I mean, unbelievable, unbelievable catches. So the other one should be easy, like stealing. Just take them.
Anderson also said yesterday that, you know, obviously you're trying to improve the third and long, make them third and shorter. That'll help the converting them. But you seem the last two games to be extremely predictable, where you're running mostly on first down and throwing mostly on third down. Do you see that trend changing soon? I mean, are you guys aware of it?
Well, Tony, we actually ran three times on third down last week.
Well, I know.
So
threw 19 of 25 times.
Yeah, I'd say that most teams are probably on that same percentage. It just depends on the down distance. I'd say from a self-scout perspective, running three times on third down was very different than what we had done. And then when you look at third down, a lot of teams, it'll depend on, is it third and one? Most teams, that percentage of run passes extremely is much different than, say, third and four. Some teams will never run on third and four. Some teams will run. If you're going to get a run, they'll be sprinkled in on third and 12. There are trends that way, and it just depends on what your third down percentage is and what you think the best chance of making that down distance is.
Do you think you're running too much on first down?
It
was a little more balanced last week because of the Wildcat. Was that
I think we're somewhere between 54 and 46. That's pretty close to 50-50. Yeah.
Do you anticipate using Mike Furry more at wide receiver in this game? It seems like the last couple of games he hasn't. Maybe a chance he took his.
No, he. Yeah. Do I anticipate him playing more this game? Definitely. Now it could be a combination of offense and defense, but he'll definitely play more than he played last game. Sometimes the way that goes, Jeff, is what package is saying. We were in a little bit more 21 and 12, which is 21 is two backs, a tight end, two receivers. Like your standard said, 12 is the two tight ends, two receivers. We were in a little bit more of that on third down than we have been historically, and that wasn't a package that Mike was in. So where he'd normally get reps in the three wide receiver sets, we weren't using those groupings as much or as frequently as we had, and that skewed his overall participation a little bit.
You're not disappointed in what he's been doing for you?
No, I'm sure he'd love to be more productive, and I'd love him to be more productive, but it's not. Some of it is opportunity. Some of it's the way the games have gone. Mike is, I really like Mike. I think he's a versatile guy. He's a complete team guy. To me, the best sort of view of Mike is in the Cincinnati game where he catches a third down and then breaks up a third down. That's kind of what he can do.
You had a couple different guys play right guard, right? Floyd started, and it looked like Rex had at least one series. I know Hank, played some of the extra linemen. Would you like to see one guy in there, or are you comfortable with multiple guys in the same game?
Well, it's one of those situations where they're both really coming back from injuries, and they both have different skill sets that you like. You and you want to involve them as much as you can. So it wasn't, I think that was really the goal. And then Hank's done some work as the extra lineman, the tight end, because we had Robert got a little banged up the midway through the game, and Steve was down, so we were a little light there.
Do you worry about continuity being affected at all? You know, I know the five guys kind of like to work together.
What I like about that group is guys can be plugged in, and they've done it so much that there's a comfort level with it. And Hank, he can play any spot. I mean, Hank could probably play DB. You know, he's that aware, he's that knowledgeable, he's impressive that way.
Coach, you never want to give up big plays in the passing game. You have to be extra alert against the Packers the way Rodgers likes to sling it downfield.
Well, we were on high alert last week. That didn't sneak up on us. He just didn't do it very well. And the other thing with the Packers is especially with a guy like Jennings, he takes some really small completions and turns them into big plays because of his yards after the catch, the way he's able to make people miss. He's a strong runner. So some of that is being able to make the tackle at the point of reception as opposed to giving an opportunity to pick up another 15, 20 yards.